Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power,
the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
Now you're welcome back. So as discussed on the news round, Stephen Kenny's tenure starts with immediate effect. Mick McCarthy's is over. We're joined on the line by Kevin Kilbane. Good evening.
Hi Joe, how are you keeping?
Very well, how are you doing?
All's good, yeah, everything's fine. Keeping safe, thankfully, and healthy, more importantly. So yeah, it's all good, thanks. Yeah, yourself, how are you keeping?
All good, the same, all is healthy, all is well, so lots to be thankful for.
Good, yeah, exactly.
The news came through over the weekend, obviously, that the FAI had decided to make a clean decision on the situation regarding Mick McCarthy and his future and what was going to happen with the Euros postponement. And then particularly, I think, with the Slovakia game being pushed into what seems like November. In the main, I think everybody has felt it was the correct decision. Do you agree?
Yes and no. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Mick McCarthy for every press conference, every interview that he would have been doing between now and that playoff game? It would have been a constant reminder, a constant questioning of the situation. So for that, yes, but I think the position that the team's in on the verge of, well, like I say, on the verge of qualifying, it's probably still a long way to go just yet, but it would rank on you, wouldn't it? It would certainly get to you if you're in Mick's position and all of a sudden you've got a playoff game to qualify for a major tournament, which was the objective. But everything's changed, of course. You know, we're in a total different place now, a total different mindset, I suppose. I think the correct decision probably was made, yeah.
Because about 2 weeks ago on FAI TV, Niall Quinn, he was asked about the situation and he was saying, well, look, we don't know if we're going to the Euros. We'll know in June. We'll know on June 10th. And I would have thought 10th of June is a good time to start worrying about that particular instance. So that suggests there was a degree of thinking going on behind the scenes about what might happen. Yeah. But really, once the playoff game moved post 1st of August, i.e. Stephen Kenny's starting date, then really it probably became much more clear-cut, and understandably so, because I'm sure as much as Mick would like to have got to the Euros and taken the playoff game, really that playoff game has nothing to do with Mick's campaign just gone. That's a legacy of the Nations League under O'Neill and Keane, as you know. So, you know, in effect,
exactly.
He's not really owed it, I guess, in the way people might have felt he was
totally
owed it if he had won the playoffs.
Well, if there was a sudden change, if you're Stephen Kenny and there's a sudden change, the mindset of Stephen Kenny would be you want to push to take the job when you've agreed to take the job. And I can imagine the phone calls that would have been made from Stephen Kenny constantly saying, look, it has to be done. You know, things have changed in terms of dates, but my contract is due to start then. I want to take over then. I've got a long campaign or campaigns ahead of me, and I need to get things in place now urgently, because that's the way that he would have been thinking. So you can see it from both sides, but ultimately I think the right decision is made, Joe. Yeah,
fair enough. Impossible situation in that as well. You have the World Cup qualifiers starting in March, and you just can't have a situation where you have different managers at different stages. So it became very, very, very tricky.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely did. And as I said, it's been done now. I think you move on, and I'm pleased with, you know, certainly with Keith Andrews, Damien Duff going in, and his immediate staff that'll be around him. I think we certainly we're in a better position. I think the mindset from what's happened within the FAI over the last couple of years. I think we certainly see. I certainly see a little bit of light now. I think we see that things seem to be done the correct way. Mm. This had to be done this way is what we're saying here, really. Ultimately, it did have to be done this way. Stephen Kenny's contract is due to start in a certain date, so it has to be done. And I think that's the difference. I think now that, you know, with what's happened in the past, I think we found ourselves in this position anyway. So it was a bizarre situation at the start, and ultimately now everything's just scratched off, and it's almost like we wipe the chalkboard off and we go again, and that's kind of how it is. And I'm pleased now that ultimately there'll be no questions asked of the manager. Mick was constantly getting asked this question anyway during his reign, and Stephen Kenny would have been constantly asked through his reign as a 21 manager. Ultimately, now we can look forward with Stephen Kenny taking over his coaching staff, and the players now know what's ahead of them. And ultimately, I think we'll have one or two new additions coming in. I think we'll have a fresher squad, probably a younger squad going forward. And I think we'll all be happier for that as well.
Yes. Who's most likely to come in then? I mean, in particular, you're looking at the central midfield area and Glenn Whelan at his age, not playing football, you lose your conditioning even more so at that age. James McCarthy, we're hoping, is back fit. Jason Malumbi is obviously on the scene in a big way now. Like, that's one area in particular where you suspect there'll be a big freshening up.
Yeah, I think so. Malumbi looks the obvious one. And again, you'd be like me, Joe. I've only seen bits of him. I've seen bits of him when he's been on loan at Millwall. I've seen bits of him playing in the 21s. I've not seen an awful lot of him. Certainly playing at the higher level against better players. I think he's a sort of player that can actually take that on board, playing against better players. And I think he'll get better and better because of the type of player that he is. But he looks, I mean, when I've spoken to Keith Andrews over the last year or two, Keith has mentioned him specifically talking about how he really likes him as in the midfield role that he's played in the 21s or wherever he's played, whether he's been playing at club level as well. I think he's got enough experience under his belt now. But he does look the obvious one, but it won't be just him. There'll be Adam Ider, of course, will be looking at Troy Parrott, will be looking at Aaron Connolly to get more game time now as well. So there's a number of players throughout the under 21 setup who, and as I've said to you as well, you know, we're actually looking at introducing these young players for such huge games, these playoff games. Ultimately, it can make or break a career. And that's ultimately what we're looking at here, that you're introducing these young lads in such high-profile, high-stakes games. If they don't play well, it certainly could set them back a certain while, or ultimately, which we certainly don't want this to happen, it could be something that's in that young player's mind whenever he's going to play in the Irish jersey going forward, that it could affect their international career or the senior international career. So I think Stephen has got to be careful in how he's actually going to introduce younger players into the squad. I think it will help that there'll be two or three going in together if that were to be the case. But I think it is still, you know, a little bit of a delicate situation for Stephen Kenny to address, I feel, yeah.
Guess it helps as well. He has a feel for their personalities, which is all important. And it seems as well, we had Gary Owens.
And vice versa.
Gary Owens on the show yesterday. And I think the feeling within the FAI is that Stephen Kenny's first game, thankfully, won't be the Slovakia game. It looks like that will be pushed to November. And so there's the Bulgaria and Finland game and a chance for him to get to know the players a bit more and then to get a feel for him. He gets to get some of his ideas across. Like when we spoke a couple of years ago, I remember, and you were making the point that, and maybe this was true to an extent with Brian Kerr, some of the players not too sure of, you know, Kenny's background, potentially what he's done in the game. And we are talking about a manager here who's managed in 40 plus European games. I would think very quickly, you know, they seem like a decent bunch. He'll get in there. They'll assess him as they would any manager. Footballers are a cynical bunch. And he will be given the chance, I would presume, Kev, to win them over with the quality of his ideas, which is all any manager can ask for.
Yeah, I'd like to think that would certainly be the case. Just something you touched on, the younger players, knowing him as well, knowing exactly what he's going to bring to the training ground. I think that will certainly help him as well. But the older players as well, ultimately, you want to see what he's going to bring to you. How is he going to make me a better player? How is he going to improve me? And that's what a lot of the maybe elder players will be thinking, or the more experienced players will be thinking within that squad. I'd made that point, I remember a couple of years ago, and maybe it was shot down by a couple, but I think... And Nathan, I remember Nathan making the point, and probably rightly so as well. Nathan's point was, look, we don't have a lot of players that were maybe in the position of the players or the calibre and the clubs that they were playing at during my time as well. I think that's certainly something that did go against Brian Kerr. I do feel that. But ultimately, I feel that it is the correct appointment. You spoke about his experience there at European level. I want an Irishman managing Ireland. I think he's got all the credentials to go on now and go well. And certainly we wish him all the best. But I think the players from speaking to people that have worked under him, we've had certain guys on the show over the years that have played at Dundalk under him. Of course, young lads that have worked with him, even Keith, what we've had on as well, working alongside him, speaks so highly of him and how he does things, his approach to training, his approach to games. I think the players will only, I think it'll only make them better. And I think that's going to be the case. It might not be immediate. You know, we may have to go through three or four games. And that is ultimately something that could cost us into those playoff matches. You say we've got the Nations League games, yes. But that is something that could cost us. There could be a bit of a negative effect if things don't go right quickly. But I think long term, I think it will be right, and I think we'll start to see the benefits of a team playing a different sort of style and hopefully good attacking football in years to come.
Yeah, no, that's very much the hope. And on the care point that you made a couple of years ago, I mean, you were never saying it was right, but you were there, you experienced it. If that was the reality, that was the reality. And nobody who wasn't in the team can, you know, tell you what you did or didn't experience. So I think you're more than entitled to make that point. And before we finish up, Kev, I do want to get your thoughts on the job Mick has done this second time round. I'll play you a clip here just to give you a sense, because it was really, really good debate. We had Gary Breen and Damien Delaney on yesterday. Oh, it's just crashed. Okay. Perfect timing. It's just crashed.
I didn't hear it. I've not heard it, Joe.
Well, in short, Gary Breen was very strongly of the opinion that Mick did a fine job here. One, that he, you know, restored the mood, the relationship between fans and players. And crucially, he said Mick did improve things from a football perspective. Players knew their jobs more. He said he saw better patterns of play. Absolutely. And Damien Delaney did not agree with that at all. And, you know, he mentioned several of the games where he didn't see those performances on the pitch. And they had a really kind of heated debate. It's worth catching on YouTube or offtheball.com if someone wants to have a listen. So it was interesting in that you had two men who really know their stuff, really tactically insightful, you'd know from them being on the show down the years. And they had really different opinions on the job that Mick had done.
Well, I think we certainly saw an immediate kick from the tide. What was his first game again, Joe?
It was such a strange campaign. Like, the first game is the Gibraltar night when executive vice president role comes into being. His second game a few days later against Georgia, the 1-0 win, the Hurrahan free kick, there's tennis balls landing on the pitch. So, like, it was a bizarre situation. Then it was the 1-1 draw Denmark in June last summer, where you thought, oh, that was a good result. They beat Gibraltar. They drew it 1-1 with Switzerland. Last October, it started to lose a bit of momentum. There was the 0-0 draw away to Georgia. That was a killer. Aaron Connolly came on last few minutes, but like, just wasn't good. And a few days later, they lost 2-0 to Switzerland away. And then the last game was the 1-0 draw with Denmark, where they had a bit of a go, you know, be shot to nothing, had a right go, and the tempo was up. So there was never that massive night.
No, I think that's fair to say. There wasn't the massive night. I just remember going into that Georgia game. The Gibraltar game was very strange. It was strange at everything that was happening around the FAI at the time. Yes, of course, plastic pitch, weather was horrendous as well. You don't make excuses, but you know, playing international football on a plastic pitch, it's a joke, isn't it? That's the thing. Yeah. So that's. But you cast that aside. The Georgia game, I remember we'd spoke at length going into that match, and it was. I think we're all quite nervous because Georgia had outplayed us. Both at home and away, probably three or four times prior to those games, and we'd luckily got results. I think we drew away in Georgia, and we certainly were outplayed in the home game. Seamus Coleman had scored when we won 1-0 prior to that as well against Georgia. But the Georgia performance was, I think it was probably the standout performance because we got a real up tempo performance. I think we got an Irish performance. I think we got good attacking football. I think we got a lot of chances created. It was a free kick ultimately that broke them down, as you say, Conor Harrigan's free kick. But that was maybe the standout performance, I think, across the 90 minutes. It should have been more. We should have won by a lot more. But I think that result or that performance gave us a little bit of optimism going forward because the performances prior to that in the last couple of campaigns were dire. It was a dire watch, and that gave us a bit of a lift. I think it probably did go slightly downhill from there after that Georgia result. But I certainly saw a lot more thought with the play. I thought even if we were turning the opposition, I think we were in positions to turn them. You and I had spoken so often in the past, look, if we're going to go long, we're going to go long, but we're not even in a position to go long or short. We don't seem to... It didn't seem, watching the team, that we knew exactly what was going to happen next. I personally saw that there were certain patterns on the pitch. If a fullback had the ball, I think you'd get a fullback running off the line, you'd maybe get a striker that was running behind. I think there were certain patterns. I could certainly see patterns. But ultimately, the football wasn't great. I think, and as I was saying, I think it went downhill from that Georgia game. The playoff was always attainable. We were always going to get that playoff spot anyway.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately against the two best sides in the group, We didn't perform so well. Certainly the Switzerland game home and away, the home game against Switzerland, and I said it constantly going into Switzerland, they're a decent side, they're solid, but but they're not going to come and destroy you. They're not a side that's going to come and open you up at will. And I think they did that to us a lot, particularly at home. I think they outplayed us, and they should have beat us at the Aviva. So they were the ones I'm looking at really there to say, well, look, we didn't perform against the better sides, and the Georgia result was a standout performance. And let's be honest, as you know, I've been there. I've played against some of the Eastern European sides, and they are decent. They've got good technical players, but it's Georgia. That's what we have to look at and think. Yeah. Georgia at home, we should be beating that side anyway. So that was maybe the standout performance, but ultimately, we didn't perform across the course of the group, no.
Yeah, and that they are 91st in the world. I guess what's very interesting now is, if you take it from the Trapattoni era to where we are today, and obviously you were involved for a part of the Trapattoni era, people have, to some extent or other, if we, you know, we bunch them together, Trapattoni, Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy, a certain kind of pragmatic football is how people will pigeonhole them, if you to throw a blanket over it, the whole thing. And throughout that period, there has been a debate, do we have the players? Do we have the players? And the sense has been from management, one way or another. Now, Mick, in fairness, never said it explicitly, but the sense has been, well, like, I'm doing the best I can here. Like, I don't have world beaters, you know? And what we're going to see now is a manager who absolutely is going to try and get this team to play a more expansive brand of football. So why I'm really excited is, I now will look at what the team produce, and I won't think to myself, well, maybe the manager is not insisting they play football. I know he's going to be really pushing them to do it. So we're going to see what we have here over the next year or two.
Yeah, the constant message that we don't have the players, you know, I've hated that message when that's clearly been putting out. Yes, Trapattoni said it around us. We had good players. Don't get me wrong. We had very good players within the squad when Trapattoni took over. And even under Martin O'Neill and Roy, we didn't. Yes, I take the point that we don't have a Johnny Giles, we don't have a Roy Keane, we don't have a Robbie Keane. However, I take that point, but we've still got good players. We've still got players that are capable of playing as a team and producing good football as a team. Might not necessarily have a real superstar as an individual, but we've got players that's capable of doing it. And listen to Stephen Kenny over the years, whenever I've heard him talking, I've never heard him talking about that, talking in that term like Trapattoni or Martin O'Neill constantly saying that we don't have the players. I feel as though that he's been positive about the squad of players that he's got. I think he'll be the same now, knowing full well that there will be one or two limitations to the squad, to the side that he'll be putting out. But ultimately, he'll be encouraging the players to play a certain way that he believes that can open up opposition, that can then create, that can obviously stop opposition as well. That's got to be a big part of the game as well. And I think the message will be clear to the side that, look, you can actually go out and expose opposition teams. And I think that's ultimately the message that will be clear, Joe. And that message that's come out from the side, I used to hate it even when I was part of Trapattoni sides. That when you're hearing that sort of message and you're hearing that sort of or you're hearing those signals that's being said about you, it was rubbish, because I knew that within that side that we've got Damien Duff, Robbie Keane, Richard Dunn. These are top class players, and real top class players.
Yeah, for sure.
Playing any side, and that's the difference. Where maybe we don't have that type of individual right now.
I was going to say, what do we have now? What's as a kind of final point to wrap up? So hopefully it's Bulgaria, Finland first, and then the Slovakia game to come in November. What is realistic to expect from Stephen Kenny over the next couple of games, albeit I know we're talking months away, but how quickly can he affect things in a very real way? I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
No, I think we're all fearful going into the playoff games anyway. If we do get through the first game, and obviously then we could have the Bosnia or a Northern Ireland game, I think we're all fearful of those. Can he make a difference, a dramatic difference, so quickly? I don't think it's going to be that dramatic a difference to the side, but I certainly think that we'll see a different sort of style going into the games. Do you know what? I think realistically, we'll be able to judge them after that, the first two games, the Finland and Bulgaria game. I think that's where we're going to be able to judge them. We're going to get a bit of a better feeling as to how the team's playing. Are we creating chances? Are we stopping side scoring against us? Because realistically, we've got, well, as Nations League suggests, we're on a par with those sides. So, yes, we should be actually going out, playing a different style that Stephen Kenny is insistent that we're going to be playing, and we're going to actually be playing in a way where we're actually going to be looking to create chances and score goals.
Because our big issue is goals. So often, and you look at the under-21s, they have goals, you know, dripping out of them. Where Ireland's big issue in the last campaign has been goals.
But Joe, we've played a certain way to stop sides rather than actually go and open up sides.
Yeah.
There has been quality in the side. I mean, don't get me wrong, over the years, people have questioned players like Aidan McGeady and players like Robbie Brady, Jeff Hendrick, or whoever it would be. But these are creative players. Mm. Certainly Brady and McGeady are. They can create chances, but we've played a certain style to stop sides scoring against them that we've not been able to get the best out of any creative player that we've had in our side. It's always been about setting a side up where we're going to be solid, we're going to stop a side. And if we nick a win 1-0,
yeah.
I mean, was it 20-odd internationals or competitive internationals? I think we hadn't scored more than one goal. I don't know the stat, but it's a ridiculous stat. We can't score more than one goal in a game. If we're going to get a draw, it'll be 0-0. If we're going to win a game, it's 1-0. Now, we can't continue like that if we're seriously going to go and compete against the better nations and hopefully qualify for World Cups and Euros going forward. We've got to have a plan where if we get a goal, we're going to go and get a second goal, because we've not been able to contain sides end. You say the pattern there, Joe. How often if we've scored early in the game, even thinking of the Denmark playoff match, score early in a match, right, we're going to have to sit on this now for 85 minutes. You can't do it.
Correct. I would put it to you, that's because as a team, we don't feel we can control the game. We don't feel we can control possession. So our only option is to fall back.
There's not even a purpose to attack, though, Joe, within that.
Sure.
Like, fair enough, we might not have the players that's going to be able to control the game, but there's got to come, there'll come numerous times in a game where certain patterns arise, where you'll get a striker in behind, or you'll get a wide man on the ball, you'll get a wide man coming in off the sideline, a bit of link-up play with the strikers. As soon as we've got a goal, all the patterns go out of the team. There's no shape to the team. There's a shape to the team, but an attacking shape. Everyone is so rigid and so content just to go, well, we're going to have to see this game through now. We're just going to, look, if we draw 1-1, that's fine, we'll take the draw. Rather than actually say, well, I tell you what, we might not have a player that's going to be able to dominate in midfield and control the game, which I do feel as though we'll try to do that. But even if we haven't, there's still got to come times where we're going to have to go and get a second goal in a game. And that's not been the case. And I do feel as though that has been our massive Achilles heel, not just, say, under Mick's reign. That's been Trapattoni and Martin O'Neill's reign. Whoever it's been as manager, we've not been able to go and get that second goal to kill a game off.
Yes, well, let's hope that happens. I think everybody's quite excited about the future, and not least because we'll be out of our homes when we do eventually get round to playing these matches.
Touch wood.
It goes without saying, I didn't give you a chance to say it, but it goes without saying Mick handled the situation with his usual grace and class over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes things easier as we say goodbye to each other. Yeah, but that does make things easier.
It absolutely does. And Mick's a class act. He is a class act. And, I've got a personal relationship with him, and I've known Mick, you know, 20, 25 years or whatever it is since I was a kid. And I know that, but you get criticized for that. But you've had dealings with him as well, Joe. You know the sort of person that he is, that, you know, he's handled this perfectly well. I do feel as though that he was thrown under a bus when he got the job. I don't feel as though that things were handled greatly when he was offered the job initially. Then, you know, think that it seemed as an outsider looking in that the whole thing changed for him, that he wasn't necessarily going to then take the team over a couple of campaigns. Everything seemed to go out the window when there was a feeling that Stephen Kenny was a more popular choice than Mick McCarthy, and we may have been going backwards to take Mick McCarthy on board. So there was a number of things around it, but Mick is a class act. I'm sure he's going to get another job. I know that you and I spoke to him. He wants to get to 1,000 games, doesn't he? He mentioned that when we interviewed him a few years ago. I think he's on about 970 career games in club management. So one achievement that would be if he could get to 1,000 games as a manager as well. And certainly I wish him all the best. And I think that any club that gets him would would have a top class manager, a top class person, and a manager that will actually get the best out of a group of players that aren't necessarily the greatest in terms of talent. Yeah,
agreed. Listen, clock's coming against me. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe.
Thanks, Joe. Take it easy, everyone. All the best.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Hey, you're very welcome along to this evening's football show. Needless to say, the Stephen Kenny, Mick McCarthy situation, the main talking point on the show this evening. Later on, myself and Nathan Murphy will chat through a few specifics. We'll bring you part of the Damien Delaney, Gary Breen discussion yesterday, which was very interesting on a few fronts. In the meantime, we're going to hear from David Myler. First, regarding the timeline of all of this, on Saturday the news was broken here, followed shortly by an FAI statement shortly after that. And then on Saturday evening, we were all very curious, you know, to see what Mick McCarthy's response to the decision was. And as you'll see here, Mick was incredibly magnanimous and classy to the end. Here was Mick speaking on FAI TV Saturday evening.
So, Mick, your second year as Ireland manager is over ahead of time and in very extraordinary circumstances. What are your thoughts today?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, Cole, extraordinary circumstances for everybody, actually, with the coronavirus that's going on, the way it's football's been cancelled, I mean, worldwide. So, you know, the European Championships has had to be done as well. What are my thoughts? I mean, I said in December the 1st, 2018, when I took the job, that I'd be leaving on July the 31st, whatever, you know, come what may. But those discussions were based on us qualifying and then maybe doing really well in the Euros. But I said I was leaving, and that's still the case. Albeit, of course, it's been brought forward because of what's happening worldwide, actually.
It's been a difficult decision and difficult discussions for everyone, and particularly for you, because you'd started this job and now you don't get to finish it.
Yeah, look, that's usually disappointing, but I fully understand it as well. I see Aggie Arraidi is the same, isn't he, with the Denmark coach, who's a pal of mine. He started the same competition and he's leaving now because that his successor was already picked to take over, and mine was the same. It's disappointing I can't finish it off. I think we've had a really good campaign. We were almost there in November when we played Denmark. Sadly, we didn't. And so the playoffs are being pushed back, and I fully understand it. You know, Stephen's been contracted to take over in August, and good luck to him. He'll get the chance now to qualify.
What will you say now, Mick, to your players and your staff?
I've spoken to some of the staff. Of course, the nearest and dearest, if you like, the ones who have come in with me in terms of the football staff, and I'll get around to speak to the other guys. I would just want to say thank you to all of them for everything they've done, for all the commitment they've shown, the professionalism they've shown. I mean, the backroom staff were there when I joined. You know, apart from there's TC, there's Robbie, but Robbie's been involved, Alan Kelly's been involved before, Dave Bowman was involved with me before, of course, so... Andy Little, who's the fitness coach, who's been a rip-roaring success with everybody. I've spoken to all of those guys, they all know, and I'll get around the rest of the staff just to say a huge big thank you for the support and everything they've done to help me and to get us where we were. And actually commiserate with them, I guess, that we're not going to finish it.
And for the fans as well, I mean, the atmosphere for that Denmark match back in November was very special.
Yeah, I think, look, if there was a reconnection needed, we certainly got that with the performance of the players, and it gradually got better. Come on, we all know. I look back at the Gibraltar game, the first game in, on an AstroTurf pitch blowing a gale and an aeroplane taking off at 8 o'clock, when we just scraped through. But we did scrape through, we didn't concede a goal, and I said at the time, what a horrible game, horrible performance. The only thing was the result, and that is what mattered. And we've lost one out of 10, and the one that we lost was in Switzerland away, which, as we've seen with them, they were the best team in the group. It's been brilliant. I've loved being back. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to do the job again. And I think, you know, I'm leaving Stephen with a healthy balance, to be quite honest.
And for you yourself, you will be back in football.
Absolutely. I've said all along, I mean, what this does, Cole, as well, is that it gives everybody clarity. You know, the phone's been going, asking what's going to happen. And to be fair, to the real credit of Gary and Roy, now that they've taken over and made this decision quickly. And I support the decision because it's only right and fair that Stephen gets his chance in October the 1st. Bittersweet, but I fully support it, and I'm absolutely staying in football, going back to the original question. I've no intention of leaving. And what it does do now, with the clarity and that I will be leaving, is I'm back on the market. So I can look for a job with impunity.
And of course, Mick, you go back now to being an Ireland fan.
I do, of course. And I said yesterday to Roy that the one thing I would certainly ask for when leaving is a couple of tickets for next year's Euros when we've qualified. And I can come back and watch and support with all the rest of the fans who, let me please just give them a special mention, who have been wonderful towards me and my staff and the players from day one. The support that I've had and all the staff have had, and we've felt it, you know, all along. It's been fantastic. And I'm glad, actually. I know we didn't win the game, but I think we left. And now we've left, of course, but we left everybody on the high in November looking forward to these playoffs with a great performance the lads produced. So if they can reproduce that, then in the playoffs, I might get me two tickets for next summer.
So that was Mick McCarthy on the Saturday evening. No sense of rancour, no argument that he should have been allowed to finish the European campaign, whichever date we're talking about, 2020 or 2021, and signed off and understood the decision and applauded the sense of clarity which has now been provided. So that was Saturday evening. And then Stephen Kenny on Sunday, yesterday, he spoke to FAI TV.
It's a day of great pride for you and your family, but such are the times that we're living in right now. It must be very difficult to celebrate a moment like this.
No, we're not. We're certainly, it is a good day, but it's certainly, we're not in celebratory mode. I feel, you know, our thoughts are with the frontline workers, really. You know, they've, the doctors, nurses, the paramedics, everyone really, the self-sacrifice is heroic. And, you know, we really support them.
Now, the new era starting today in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and the disruption that has brought to football, but it's meant that Mick McCarthy has vacated his position a couple of months ahead of schedule.
Yes, I mean, Mick's obviously had a tremendous career as captain of Ireland and as manager of Ireland on two occasions. And, you know, he leaves a legacy behind him, and certainly... it's just unfortunate, you know, with the cancellation of the matches. It's been an unfortunate situation, but you know, he's revered in Ireland, and you know, the contributions over the last couple of years of Robbie Keane and Terry Connor also, and all of the staff.
Football, of course, Stephen, is on hold at the moment, but we hope to be back playing sooner rather than later. And what a prospect you have ahead with the year ahead of you.
Yeah, I feel it's an incredible year, really unprecedented. You've got the Euro playoff against Slovakia, of course, and we've got the Nations League, six games in the Nations League, and also World Cup qualifiers this year. So that's never happened before, where you've got Euro playoffs, Nations League, and World Cup qualifiers in the same calendar year. Nine games between September and November, an incredible schedule, and very, very exciting. Very, very exciting year, and you know, we've a lot to look forward to.
And confirmation today that Keith Andrews, Damien Duff and Alan Kelly are going to be working with you, with the senior team. You must be delighted with their appointments.
Yeah, Keith has been coaching the Ireland under 16s, 17s and 18s and coached with the under 21s for me this year. We had a great rapport, really, and very forthright, and I welcome that. And I think that's, he's done very well. Damien was with the Ireland under 15s, Damien Duff, and did very well, and has been at Shamrock Rovers, and reports are with Celtic's first team this season that he's been excellent there all year. And, you know, very, very high work ethic, and a big addition to the coaching team. Alan Kelly has a wealth of experience and a very analytical goalkeeping coach, so we're delighted to have him.
And of course, you're leaving the under 21 team in safe hands now, with Jim Crawford stepping up as manager and John O'Shea coming in as his number two.
Yeah, you know, Jim Crawford, you know, was Ireland under 18 manager, and then he came in last year with the under 21s, and he's made a great contribution really over the campaign. We're winning the group at the moment with three games left, and in the group. And so to try and qualify for the under 21 European Championships, that has now been put back a year, of course. And John O'Shea alongside him, you know, a lot of experience working with Reading And so I'm sure they'll look forward to that challenge as well.
Now, Stephen, there's a huge amount of positivity out there on your appointment. What's your message to the Ireland fans today?
Well, I think, you know, at the moment, we've got to really stay safe. And I think, you know, we've got to look after each other. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of tragedy throughout Europe. And, you know, in Ireland, you know, people have been very, very disciplined throughout the country. And hopefully we get the benefits from that. A lot of people have lost their lives, of course, and our thoughts are with them. And the Irish fans, we just, there are better days ahead. You know, we feel there are better days ahead, and we can look forward in a sporting context to what is a magnificent year of football in the Aviva Stadium over the forthcoming year.
So that's Stephen Kenny speaking yesterday on FAI TV, now taking charge with immediate effect. Happy to say we're joined on the line by David Myler. Evening, David.
Joe, how are you?
Very well, very well. I hope you and yours are well too.
All good here. Yeah, we're in, God, what am I? I'm probably coming up to 3 weeks. We've been in self-isolation. My wife took it on early, so we've been on lockdown for the good part of 3 weeks now.
And how's that going for you?
Yeah, it's not too bad. First few days, I think she wanted to throw me out, but she's come around to me now because obviously being locked up in the house for so long is hard. But no, it's fine now. We've kind of got into a structure and a routine, and the kids are well looked after and they're busy all the time, so that's good.
That routine, by the way, listeners, involves David playing PlayStation for 14 hours a day, pretty much.
No, it's just the 4 or 5 in the morning.
So the FAI have acted very decisively here and made things very clear cut. Correct decision?
I'm on the fence with this, just because I would have liked to have seen Mick see it through. I'm probably old school in that regard, kind of like he deserved his opportunity at the playoff and to have a cut at the Euros. But I understand why they've done it with everything that's going on in the world. Stephen is due to take over, contracts are contracts. So Stephen Kenny's now in charge. But I would have liked to have seen Mick see it through, you know.
It was a tough predicament, and even 2 weeks ago, Niall Quinn was asked about it, and he certainly didn't give the impression that there was the kind of legal clarity that we have heard over the weekend there actually is in the contracts, whereby it's just two dates. It doesn't say in Mick's that he gets to see it through until the European campaign is over. It is simply 31st of July in his contract, 1st of August in Stephen's contract. That's what we've heard this weekend. But 2 weeks ago, Niall Quinn was asked about the situation, and he was saying, well, look, we still are in the position, we don't know if we're going to the Euros or not. We'll know on the 10th of June. I would have thought 10th of June would be a good time to start worrying about that particular instance, which suggests there was a bit of thinking going on behind the scenes. I would put it to you, once the playoff game against Slovakia moved into Stephen Kenny's tenure post 1st of August, then really there was no other decision, legally or otherwise, because, I mean, the playoff is not as a result of anything Mick has done in the campaign. The playoff is a legacy of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane and the Nations League. If Ireland had finished last in this current Euro 2020 group, they would still have this playoff avenue against Slovakia. So really, it had nothing to do with Mick's campaign. And so once it did move into Stephen's tenure, I would suspect a much simpler conversation for Niall Quinn and Roy Barrett and Gary Owens.
Yeah, I think as well, they've probably gone with the case of, with everything that's gone on in the past, they probably stepped in and say, we're going to freshen up again. And they've just been, you know, maybe they made a decisive decision, they've gone through with it. And look, Stephen's in now. It's an exciting time. A lot of people in Ireland are very excited with him. I'm looking forward to watching him. You know, he's done incredible stuff with Dundalk. Look, it would have been easy to kind of say to Stephen, stay on with the 21s. Everything will get pushed back, say, 12 months, because you'll have your campaign with the 21s. They're top of the group. Mick will see it through. But they've gone with this. It's, like you said, the contracts are certain dates, so they have to put him in charge, and he's now in charge.
The other issue is that World Cup qualifiers start in March 2021.
Yeah,
Stephen, you can't say to Stephen Kenny, you do the World Cup games. You have to give him a free shot, a fair shot rather, not a free shot, a fair shot.
Yeah, well, look, that's the contract he was given, and he's entitled to it. So when you break it all down, you, in hindsight, say write it all out. it is the correct decision that Stephen would probably come in now. Like you said, we just heard him previously talking there. He's 9 games between September and November, which is going to be a lot of football. It's a lot of international football. And a lot of those games, like you said, are the Nations League, the playoff, and then World Cup qualifiers. We're not talking about friendlies v, you know, countries where you can give lads runouts. We're talking about, you know, qualifiers. We're talking about big games. So it is the right decision, because now I imagine from, I don't know Stephen personally, from the people I've spoken to who've worked with him, who've dealt with him, even when I've listened to him, I imagine he's already started his work. I imagine he's probably been in touch with players. He's drawn out his plan and he's getting himself prepared, which I think is good from the FAI, because they've given him a lot of time to prepare and get everything, you know, ready for when he does actually get to, you know, get games and get training sessions with the lads.
We had Gary Owens on yesterday. He's the FAI's interim chief executive, and he was certainly saying the hope is, and you suspect that hope is based on murmurings from within UEFA. I'm sure they're able to have back and forth and chats and back channels to see what the latest state of play is. He was saying the hope is that the Slovakia game will be more in the November window, which would give Stephen Kenny the Bulgaria game and the Finland game in the Nations League, i.e. his first game in charge will not be joining the, you know, the squad 3 days out from this crucial, you know, incredible stakes playoff against Slovakia. So you suspect, you know, the FAI are probably operating on that fairly firm footing, and that would have helped the decision as well, because that allows him get in there and get 7-10 days with the team.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about he's going to have the Bulgaria game, the Finland game before the playoff, that's crucial, rather than if we were to come straight in, the first game was the Slovakia game. You imagine, like, preparations would be, it would probably be overkill, because he'd be trying to deliver so many messages to get his points across that it mightn't have worked. Whereas now, like you said, he's the 2 games, so he has a full camp to actually prepare. And fellas then, once they come back in for the next game, which will, like you said, be the Slovakia game, fellas have a fair idea of what Stephen's about, how he works, and what he's looking for him. So maybe that was probably part of the decision as well, in the sense that if it was 1 game, they might have said to Mick, do you know what, we might give you the game. You never know, because Mick would know the group, whereas, like, I know a lot of the lads wouldn't have, you know, worked with Stephen before, but certainly in the regards, it's good. It is certainly good that he has the 2 games going into the playoff game.
Yeah. And Dan McDonald's piece yesterday in the Sunday Independent, he had a source from the FAI who said as well at a decision that, frankly, they just wanted to be seen to do things by the book, right and proper. And if this is what the contract said, then we you know, transparent, and we stick to the contracts. And that was part of their thinking. In terms of what you're expecting from Stephen Kenny, even in the short-ish term, and by that I mean he gets in, hopefully, and it's the Bulgaria and Finland game, and then there are the playoff games, we hope plural, against Slovakia and beyond. There's been much talk about his ethos and the kind of football he likes to play. That's not something that can just magically happen overnight. He may also bring in younger players. I mean, Glenn Whelan, you know, with each passing month gets that bit older, and the older you get, the more you decondition, the more quickly you decondition. So, you know, there's a few things up in the air here. What are you expecting from Kenny across those first 2-3 games?
Well, everybody's talking about, you know, certainly the style of football the under-21s have played under Stephen, and, you know, the very successful Dundalk team he's had. You're going to imagine that he's going to try and implement that style of getting them, you know, to, you know, play with the ball. But my issue with it all will be, like, when we go to play in these games, like the Bulgaria game, Finland game, and certainly the Slovakia game, this is men's senior football. It's going to be a lot. Like, people, you know, I listened yesterday to Gary and Damien. For those, that was Gary Breen and Damien Delaney. I imagine you can catch it back. The two of them were going tit for tat about different things and all that. Like, we were always set up under Martin, and I imagine the lads, you know, the ones I've spoken to, who I'm still really close with, under Mick, it wasn't as if any messages were any different, do you know? Like, Stephen will, of course, come in and he'll give them a lift, and he will bring a freshness and eagerness. Like, it's the biggest job that any manager, any Irish manager could have, is obviously that. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take him time to, like, the problem he has is, at club level, you turn up, you know, you come back at the start of July. Obviously, I'm speaking on terms of England. You come back at the start of July and you have the best part of 6 weeks for a manager. Now, I've had new managers come in and they have 6 weeks to get everything across to you. You know, if you look at the international, once it comes back, you know, the players will play on Saturday or Sunday. Then they will report, you know, to Dublin on a Sunday. Some, obviously, who play on the Sunday will come on the Monday or late Sunday night. Stephen only has probably then 3 days. And the problem is you have 3 days to get it, as much of your information into players that they can take. Like, you're gonna train for an hour and 15 tops. You can't do much more because, you know, you can't overkill the players. He'll have 3-4 days, but even the day before a game is a lighter session. You might run through set pieces, etc. But it's his time on the pitch now is going to be crucial. That it's a case of can I get them in, show them what I want, and can they go and do that? I play the games, like people say, under Martin O'Neill. That's who I played the most under. We were never told get on the ball. Martin always told us to get on the ball. You know, the amount of arguments I had with Martin about not getting on the ball, not playing forward, all this. A lot of it comes down to the players. You know, the messages from Martin to Mick to now Stephen is get on the ball and play. It always has been, it always will be. But it will come down to the players wanting the ball. And at times I felt it. You know, we were out of possession for long periods. I mightn't have gone and received the ball off the right back or the left back or the midfielders because you're trying to catch your second wind after, you know, working so hard to win possession back. But it's look, I don't want to sound negative. Like
You're not. That's a fantastic insight to get from you, because there is this hope that he will be able to work touch and magic very quickly. And we watch what the under-21s did. We watch what Dundalk did in Europe. That was the thing for me personally, which gave me a real sense that this guy was doing special things that we haven't necessarily seen from lots of Irish teams. You know, the way Dundalk were so good in so many games, in possession, playing, you know, a good football, also a pragmatic football when they needed to. But it's good to get your viewpoint that under Mick and Martin, there was still encouragement to get on the ball. I guess the hope is that Kenny will almost insist on it, maybe, in a way that those two didn't. It will be absolutely fundamental to his approach, and he will only pick players who will absolutely do it.
Yeah, no, but even so, like, I didn't play under Mick, right? So I can't speak on behalf of Mick, but sure. I know enough lads. And I imagine, look, I know for a fact, because, you know, I played under Martin. Like, I was fortunate to captain Ireland under Martin. Martin told us to get on the ball. Martin told us to go and play. You know, and people came up with this thing. We didn't know what we were doing. Like, the last thing Martin said before we went out for a warm-up was, do you all know what you're doing? Now, in that group of players I played with, like, you know, towards, you know, the Euros in 16, you had obviously Robbie, John, Glenn. They had no problem going to Martin. I certainly didn't. Seamus Coleman didn't. Other players didn't have a problem. Yes, I might say it. There might have been two or three of the lads who, you know, it was their second or third camp, they mightn't have been able to go to Martin. But if you're an international footballer and you're representing your country, you've got to know why you're there. You've got to be able to play at your club that has gotten you this recognition to go on to, you know, represent your country. You've got to know how to play. Like, will it change drastically? I don't think so. Like, even for these young boys who are coming through, there are some very exciting players coming through. I've watched the 21s, they are exciting. But going from under 21 football to, you know, first team football at international level is a total different kettle of fish. Like, you know, playing even when you play in the championship, to go and play internationally, the demands are so, you know, there's so much more. You know, like if you stop and think about it, like, international football, every country is picking the best 23 players in their country. You know, obviously you can exclude, say, suspensions or injuries, but they're the best players at that time available. So, like, they are all good players. It's like, it nearly annoyed me the times when we did play Gibraltar. Like, Gibraltar weren't as good as Ireland, but you've also got 11 lads that are, you know, trying their best for their country. And I heard a quote a few years ago that, you know, professional sport is the only sport where somebody's physically trying to stop you doing your job to the best of your ability. And if you think about that, like when we go out and play, fellas are physically trying to stop you. I'm trying to stop the player doing well, you know. Now, I want us to go and play beautiful football. Like, look, if Stephen can get me Barcelona, like I'm watching them, then fantastic. It's going to be difficult, though. You know, that's the only thing. And I don't want people have such high expectation and they're so excited, and that's great. And I want us to qualify for every major tournament. But then if it doesn't work out, don't just turn on him. We still need to support him and the team, etc., you know?
Yes. Well, I would hope that would be the case. I would hope people are at a stage now where we've had Trapattoni, we've had Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, we've had Mick McCarthy. Maybe that was a certain type of approach, notwithstanding what you're telling me about what the likes of O'Neill would have said to you about how he wanted you to get on the ball. But if I'm to kind of bluntly pigeonhole them for a second, that's a certain type of approach. So you feel Stephen Kenny will try and play a more expansive brand, and that will take time. Like, we as a footballing public may have to have a lot of patience. That may involve pain of not qualifying for the Euros. That may involve the pain of not qualifying for World Cup. But if we see signs of progress, then you stick by it and give it more of an opportunity. It may be into the following European campaign if there's enough signs of progress there. And maybe we're at the point where we just have to do that. But I take what you're saying. We have to be very realistic. And all the points you've made about the difficulties of international football, I don't doubt. And, you know, for us to expect that by the second half of the Bulgaria game in September, will be fizzing the ball around and have 65% possession, that's probably asking a bit too much. I mean, it'll take him a while to figure out his starting 11.
Yeah, of course. Like, and you know, you've touched on it with different things about, will he bring through some of the under-21s? Like, you touched on Glenn Whelan. Obviously, Glenn is an older, experienced head now. Will Stephen select Glenn? Obviously, there's a lot of high hopes on Jason Malumbi.
Yeah.
Will he make the step up?
James McCarthy's back in the fold. We don't know how well, you know, where he is. That's another factor. But like, central midfield is definitely an area which jumps out.
Well, please God, and I hope it, and I stand by this, if James is still hands down our best midfielder. He's been very unfortunate with injuries, but like that young fella is an incredible midfielder. And if we can keep him fit and available for Ireland, you know, the performance he had leading up to the, you know, the Euros in 16, everything, like the night against Germany where Shane scored, like, James was the best player in the park. And if we can keep him fit and playing, then, you know, I guarantee you Stephen will play him because the boy's incredible. But like you said, it's tough. You know, you've got a couple of lads, especially with this, say if we're going to come back. So if you start in the autumn internationals, I know the rugby boys call it that, but if we're starting, say, September, October, November, then, yeah, lads are going to be another 6 months older. So it's going to be where are you at then, and these young lads are 6 months more advanced, so who knows what way he'll go.
Mm. A final word, David, maybe on Mick and his reign. There's the on-the-pitch stuff, and just to jog the memory almost, there's the first game against Gibraltar. That's the night John Delaney is made executive vice president. And then a few days later, there's the Georgia game, which is the tennis balls night. So it was an odd start to the campaign for those reasons. Where it really seemed to have a bit of momentum was the 1-1 draw then in June 2019, away to Denmark. They beat Gibraltar as well. September, the 1-1 draw at home to Switzerland. Probably October of last year, the 0-0 draw in Georgia, the loss to Switzerland, it just maybe lost that sense of momentum. And then they had a go against Denmark. It finished 1-1 ultimately. But it was an up-tempo effort. I mean, you can spin it both ways. It's one defeat in 10, and it's a steady into the ship, and it's a reconnection with the fans and all that kind of stuff. Or equally, you can say, well, Ireland only beat Gibraltar twice and Georgia once, struggled for goals. There wasn't that much, you know, there were no huge signs of great progress. So that's the on-the-field stuff. Get your thoughts on that. And equally, we should emphasise as well, the way Mick seems to have handled this situation and not caused, you know, bitterness or created some kind of schism or, you know, civil war almost type thing, I think is to be commended as well. Like, he's accepted it all with perfect grace.
Well, I'll talk about Mick. Classy guy. Everything about him. I know, I've only dealt with him a handful of times. I played against his Wolves side or his Ipswich sides. you know, even when he took over, he'd said if lads aren't playing, they wouldn't be in his squad, etc. I'd spoken to Mick several times. I was, you know, fighting an injury, whatever. But like, everything about him was, you know, a breath of fresh air, and he was a lovely man to deal with. Everything about him, all the lads speak really highly of him. You know, the players I know that have played under him from the previous generations, like a Wolves, like I said, in Ipswich, everyone speaks highly about him. And you can just see, you know, it was a lift on the results. I think it goes to the, you know, the Georgia and Switzerland games were just disappointing. Georgia away in that. I think a lot of people were frustrated. Like, the Denmark game at the end is almost a free shot, in a sense that, like, we've nothing to lose. We just kind of go at it. I think players more so than the manager will look back on that and say, we've left that behind, you know, like, we could have done more. I think Mick has probably done everything he can. It's just that the players haven't done it all, if that makes sense. If I go back to my qualifying campaign with the Euros, like, the Scotland game tore us up. And then obviously to come back and beat Germany or whatever and get results against Germany was huge. And if you look at the World Cup for 18, like, going to Wales or whatever, but yeah. Then like, there was other games where we could have done more. And it's almost as if the players really take that. Certainly they mightn't speak out about it in public, but the players know that they could have done more. You know, certain individuals themselves will look in the mirror and say, I should have done more in that game or whatever. But I think, you know, look, Mick's come in, as you said, there's been no big night
really. Nick and the away draw at Denmark, probably kind of the big moment, but there's been that Germany result you mentioned, or the Wales result. That never happened this campaign. It'll fade a little bit in the memory, I think, in a couple of years.
Yeah. Probably the worst thing is it'll probably be remembered for everything that's going on with the coronavirus and whatever. And certainly with Stephen coming in, there's this, you know, everybody's excited now to see what we're going to get and how it's going to go. So I don't think it will be forgotten, but it won't be like, we could sit here and have a conversation about, you know, Ireland v Holland when, you know, McAteer scored, you know, that kind of big moment you're talking about. There's no big moment from that campaign that in those games, there's no big game that stood out, but still the same thing. It's like when Trapattoni left and Martin and Roy came in, there was a big lift. Obviously, we had good success at the start, and then obviously missing out in the World Cup, then there was that down, and then Mick came in and there was another lift, and now Mick has moved on. Now Stephen's come in, there's another big lift. So it's good. There's at least they're identifying it, and, you know, it's exciting times for Irish football.
Listen, great stuff, David. Much appreciated, and we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Stay safe and all that business. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Joe.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Now, you're welcome back. Nathan Murphy is alongside me. Hello.
How are you?
Very well. Interesting from David Myler there. He's not trying to be negative by any means, and I don't think he was, but he was very realistic. We're all very excited about Stephen Kenny and what he can do, with good reason. We've seen it with our own eyes over the last couple of years, but it is almost striking and kind of jarring when someone who's been there and done it is almost trying to get across that actually it's not so easy to translate what we've seen elsewhere to international level. It's going to take time. It's going to be tricky. And I must say, I'm torn, because I heed what he's saying, how can you not? And yet part of me looks at what Kenny has done, as I said to him, with Dundalk and the under-21s, and maybe there is a feeling that we haven't got the maximum out of our players, and maybe there have been more technical players who haven't played. So I still have the nagging hope, actually, that things will improve. And that's what's going to be fascinating about the Kenny regime. From Trapattoni to O'Neill to McCarthy, there has been this debate, and the debate has boiled down to, do we have the players? Do we have the players? Mm. And now we're going to find out for sure, I suspect.
Well, Stephen Kenny is on the record, I think, many times over the years saying that we do have the players, that we have players who can do things technically better than we have seen when they're in a green jersey. And while I totally go along with what David's saying, that international football, and particularly big qualification games, is a huge step up on even what Dundalk have achieved, and particularly from the 21s, it's hard to imagine that he would stand over some of the performances that we've seen in recent times. It doesn't need to be 65% possession, but I would imagine that quite quickly against lesser opposition, and remember that's been a big part of the problem, that even weaker international sides have come to Dublin and have gotten fared 50-50 in terms of possession at the very least, and looked far more comfortable and had a far better game plan when in possession of the ball. I would expect that to change quite quickly. You only have to look at that under 21 performance against Italy, where they more than matched a far superior and far more experienced Italian side in terms of possession on the ball. So it may not be an instant transformation, and it's going to be fascinating to see how the autumn develops. Like, if they're talking about 9 matches in the space of 3 months, it's going to be a bit of a baptism of fire in terms of, like, we're talking about potential teams and potential midfielders and Glenn Whelan and Jason Malumbi. He's going to need everybody, you would expect.
I would also think it's ambitious. None of us know where the world is going. I mean, it will almost certainly be behind closed doors for starters, which may bring into question the amount of revenue the FAI are budgeting on from these games. But global travel is a long way off, so potentially behind closed doors, potentially home fans only, and none of us know. I mean, it would be fantastic if it all does go ahead, but that's a big question mark for starters. On the point you make about the lesser games, I think that's a key one. Because when you go through the campaign, as I did with David there a moment ago, Ireland can always go to Switzerland and lose 2-0. That can just happen, you know, especially away from home. But the Georgia game last October, 0-0 draw, Georgia 91st in the world. Ireland never controlled that game at all, never got a hold of it. The Danes did draw 0-0 there, but they bossed the game, controlled it, and Georgia hung on. Georgia did not hang on against Ireland that night. And that, you know, even if we could get to a point where, when we're against players that are certainly going by their club form of a lesser standard and their world ranking of a lesser standard, that we can start to exert a bit of control of games, that would be a major step forward.
Yeah, I think that's all that people want, that when they go and they watch Ireland, that they have a definite style of play. And I think a style of play that will get you against the likes of Georgia a better performance and a better result, but also one that you're not just going to flip on its head when you do go to an Italy or even against Switzerland or Denmark, that there will be at least an attempt to go and do the right thing all the time. For whatever reason, that hasn't happened. I know David, from listening to him there, and he's mentioned it many times, Seamus Coleman, when you talk to him, would say that, like, the manager encourages them to be brave. They need to be braver in possession, and it doesn't happen. And that's the old conundrum of, do we have the players? And it'll be interesting to see how quickly there is a turnover in players. Again, this whole delay to the football season adds a whole host of complications. You mentioned Glenn Whelan, 6 months potentially without a game of football at the age of 36. Very hard to get back up to speed, you'd imagine, for international football. But I think there's probably going to be a pragmatism to Stephen Kenny, not to the extreme lengths maybe of a Martin O'Neill or Mick McCarthy, but maybe more so than the way that a lot of us have spoken about him. He's not going to go in and start 8 of these under-21s who are playing very little club football in a senior international. He's going to be incredibly excited, I'd imagine, to be working with the likes of even a Seamus Coleman, James McLean, Matt Doherty, players who are playing at a very, very high level, and seeing what he can do with those guys. I'd imagine he's going to be very fair and give all of them a chance. He's going to face the same conundrum of, is it Coleman or Matt Doherty? Maybe he finds a spot for the two of them. But over time, you'd expect the likes of Darryl Shea, who's been excellent for the 21s, that is key in the way that they play and in passing it out from the back, that there'll be a role for him in the team. And Malumbi, in particular, is going to be an interesting one. Like, does he parachute him straight in? I just think, because, again, of the way the calendar is, like, maybe you're just better off presuming that these matches do go ahead. But Jason Malumbi just signed a new contract at Brighton. He goes back to Brighton at the end of this season. Is he playing first-team football in the Premier League for Brighton next season, or in the Championship, or is he sitting on the bench for Brighton? Like, these are all the factors that Stephen Kenny, as much as he started work right now, can't really consider till he gets to September and see who's match fit. But you also have, we've all these bright, promising attacking players coming through. Are they going to be playing first-team football by the time that comes around? Or does he end up sticking with Seanan Maguire, who obviously had at Dundalk at one stage, or the likes of David McGoldrick? But everything we've seen from Stephen Kenny suggests, and everything he said, that unless he completely flips, and I'd be shocked if he does, that there will be an improvement in the style of football. There's obviously no guarantees with results, but that this will be, like, as John Jallo says, when it comes to Martin O'Neill, well, you know, he might have been encouraging them to play football, but was he ensuring that they, when they weren't, that they flipped it over. So, yeah, Martin O'Neill was telling David, go and do this. But what happened when they didn't? What was the reaction when they didn't? Well, all those players kept getting picked again and again and again.
Yeah, countless arguments, as David put it. But there is a difference between encouraging and insisting. And you suspect there'll be more insisting going on, which is great. And it may require time, and there'll be a bedding in period, and you hope it goes well in the initial stages so that everybody gets on side and sees the beginnings of progress and light at the end of the tunnel. And there'll be bumps along the way, but that's just the nature of it. We touched on this in the news round, but just to round off the weekend as a whole, from Saturday through to this evening, the FAI, in fairness to them, have given the situation clarity. They seem to have dealt with Mick McCarthy in a way that he's okay with, and I think that's important. It would have left a bad taste in the mouth if Mick had, you know, publicly said, I feel really badly treated here, but he's on board with the decision. Legally, it seems like it was an open and shut case. We weren't so sure about that, you and I, when we had spoken about 2 weeks ago, because Niall Quinn had sort of said, well, we'll have to see in June what happens, and, you know, we'll sort things out then. And that gave us a sense that there might have been something in the offing, but actually legally it seems like it was watertight, and that was the situation right from the off. But once that friendly was moved and June was no longer on the table, I think it's been a good weekend for the FAI. And, you know, Gary Owens came on the show yesterday and did the rounds in various places, came out, answered questions. Here's our thinking, and it wasn't an ideal scenario, but we've had to act. And on the whole, you'd have to say, you know, this huge story of what was going to happen has now, as we approach Monday evening, kind of been laid to rest relatively quickly in the space of 2 or 3 days. And there is clarity, which is all important, because a month of talking about this would have been bad for everyone.
Well, I think we've spoken a lot about it being a new era in the FAI, and this weekend they proved that it is. There's been a level of, I think, transparency, and listening to your interview with Gary Owens yesterday, answering questions in a way that they haven't been answered previously. And no startling revelations, but just being open and honest. And here's what we're facing. Here were the issues in terms of contracts. And here's how we sorted them out. Whereas particularly for the last 2-3 years, every small issue just escalated into this massive storm of controversy surrounding the FAI, where there was little or no talk around football. And this could have dragged on for the next 2 or 3 months, and maybe it would have given us something to talk about. Mm. But now it's just about the football. It's just about Stephen Kenny. There's obviously that still one little part with Robbie Keane to sort out. But again, that's a legacy of the previous regime. And I'd imagine they're trying to handle that in the right way, because we shouldn't forget, like, Robbie is arguably the greatest player to have pulled on a green jersey, for what he's achieved in a green jersey, and deserves a lot of respect for that. And if there is a role for him, they'll find one. If there's not, they need to make sure they handle that properly as well, because he's a big, big figure in Irish football. And you want to make sure, if you are going to end that relationship, if it is going to end, that it's done properly. And everything we've seen so far suggests that they will. So I think it's been a good weekend for Irish football. Off the pitch, obviously, there's still quite a few issues in terms of finances that need to be sorted. If these 9 games do happen, which we all hope, September, October, November, it's hard to imagine them with attendances, but hopefully they sort of settle things on the revenue side also a little bit. So this was a very good weekend in how swiftly and decisively they took action here.
Yeah, you can dig out the Gary Owens interview from yesterday, by the way. He said of the FAI's 200 staff, they don't expect to make any redundant. And also, I think he had the line that he's been in business a long time, and he's handled companies in far worse situations than this. So I came away from the interview with him without all the answers, clearly, but with probably a sense of confidence that there is a degree of competency and calmness ongoing at the moment.
Well, also, it was a conversation. It was a polite, respectful conversation, something I think that had been missing in previous times. Also, if this sort of scenario was working out, you wouldn't have ended up having an interview like that. So they need to follow through with what they're saying. And this weekend was the first signs of that, that if you're going to be open and transparent, when there are big scenarios, and this is as big as it gets, for all the issues that go on in terms of commercial deals that are huge to the 200 staff, for the majority of people, it's the senior team manager is the most important job of an FAI CEO and an FAI board, appointing the right person. So getting in there quickly and appointing the backroom staff and getting the people that Stephen Kenny wanted and getting Damien Duff on board and getting that done quietly behind the scenes, because while there have been some murmurings and I think people had an understanding maybe Damien Duff was keen to come back and live in Ireland when the season was over with Celtic anyways, to get all that done without it just being any potential sort of shambolic element to it at all is welcome. Like, the less we hear in many ways from Gary Owens over the next couple of years, the better.
Yeah. Well, that's that then. So, we wish Stephen Kenny all the best. I mean, we'll speak to him, I'm sure, in the coming days or weeks at the latest. And amazing for him. Like, just a phenomenal rise and career. And you wish him well. Keith Andrews, Damien Duff, Alan Kelly, and on the go. Nathan, we'll leave it for this evening. Thanks, Emil.
Cheers, Joe.
So that...
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.